Shop Superstar Premium, Extreme, or Platinum batteries at O'Reilly Auto Parts and get up to a $15 gift card after rebate. O'Reward members can also get a $5 reward with their battery purchase. For power, performance, and reliability, choose Superstart. Only at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
A member of the DATC media family.
Previously on the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown.
I can still recall the first time I heard that song. It was springtime in Vienna. Lynn from Maine, what do you remember about the first time you heard this song?
Well, I saw it on YouTube. So I saw the video the first time and I was just a little confused because I, you know, obviously didn't understand what springtime in Vienna meant, but I went right to the paradoxes, you know, that life is basically full of paradoxes. And that kind of hit me because that's pretty much how life is, right?
Hey, it's JD here, and welcome back to the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown. It is an absolute thrill to be here with you week over week, where we're going to count down 40 essential tracks by the hip that you selected with your very own top 20 ballots. I then tabulated the results using an abacus and three bears, one that couldn't count, one that counted too quickly, and one that was just right. I named her Righty. How will your favorite song fare in the rankings? You'll need to tune in every week to find out. So there's that. This week, I'm joined by the Tragically Hip superfan, Devin from Stouffville. How the hell are you doing on this hip-tastic day, Devin from Stouffville?
I am doing fabulous, actually. A little bit nervous, not going to lie. but what a great
too.
Cause. What a great cause to feel nervous about. So
yeah, right? We're just sitting here talking about our favorite band. That's all.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. No big whoop.
And without crying, because the last time I talked about them was the documentary. So.
Oh, my God. Well, we'll get into that because I definitely want to know, you know, your thoughts on that for sure.
Yeah.
Let's just start at the start and get right into this. Talk to me about your hipstory or your Tragically Hip origin story.
Right. I cannot tell a lie, though. It's going to feel a bit cliche. But it is what it is, as they say. I was born in 78, so I was like 9 when their first album came out. I grew up with my parents' choice of music. I think that's pretty much everyone's story, right?
Yeah.
But I had like ABBA, John Denver, Traveling Wilburys. I had so much good music given to me by my parents. But I would say that it was the hip that I first like picked up and said, this one's mine. That's where I first went, okay, I don't care if you know it. I don't care if you like it. Hey, Dad, listen to this. It was the first one where I had something that I resonated with besides what my friends had. I mean, my friends love the hip, but I was also in high school in like 92 to 97.
Okay.
So I came out of my New Kids on the Block era.
So you went right from NKOTB to TTH?
I had some in between. It was grunge and it was U2 and it was all these incredible bands. But I listened to them, right? I listened to them because that was big and that was who everyone was listening to. My first tape was the Columbia House. I'm going to stick this sticker on and order it. It was U2, Octane Baby. But it wasn't until I was at one of those famous house parties we have in high school. Somebody picked up a guitar. His name is Ramen. Shout out to Ramen. He was in a Tragically Hip cover band with some old dudes. But there was him. And he has a fantastic voice. He's actually really well-known stage performer now. He started singing We King. I was like, shoot, what is this? Like, I really needed to hear that song. Everyone else was singing it, so I felt like a tool. I was like, I don't know what this is. But I loved it. I loved it immediately. So that was kind of my first like, aha, who is this moment? I knew nothing except that song first. So yeah, that's where it started.
Wow. So, you know, you've germinated the seed at this point and it's starting to sprout. Where does the sprout go first from Wheat Kings on acoustic guitar?
The sprout goes backwards first because I am ask my mother, I like sets. And so the first thing I needed to have was all of the stuff so far. So it was fully completely, but then I went back to what was before. Although I did not pick up like their EP until later. It was too far back for me in terms of the style of it, right? It was a little too disconnected. Keeping in mind I'm 15, 16, right, at this point. So Road Apple and Day for Night and Fully Completely, that's where I lived in that for a long time. So when we were going to any concerts, those are the songs that were there at the time. So that's where the love happened. That's where I'm like, oh, I'm in love with you. Just the music, the Canadiana of it, all of it. And then after that, I followed with them as they went. So as each album came out, I went along for the ride, but the ride changed. The ride was not always the ride I wanted, but I still loved them through all of it. I just ended up starting to like cherry pick what I listened to. That makes sense.
So when did that occur? Around what time?
I would say in Violet Light.
Okay.
Because
like you listened to that one and then passed, you know, walked away?
Yeah,
or
up to like, you could say Live Between Us or Live Between Us.
It's, I don't know. We need the inflection mark or the accent.
Which we do.
But I call it Live Between Us. So.
Me too. Up to Phantom Power.
Okay.
That's where I was still heavy. Like, I love all of it. Saw a concert. It was Music at Work and Violet Light. That's when I was like, oh, I really love that song. And I really love that song. But I had fallen off because things had changed. And again, watching that doc, I was like, now I get it. Now I wasn't so crazy, right? There was an ebb and a flow to what was happening with them. I just didn't know that until recently. But that's when I kind of went, okay, I don't love all of it. And I started to pull off the songs that I did. So, you know, still heavy rotation, but I was always with the old album. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. So when was the first time you saw them live, Devin from Stouffville?
My first live hip show was another roadside attraction at Molson Park in Barrie in 97. And it was our last year of high school. It was a perfect summer day. It was the first time I'd ever been to like a festival kind of thing.
Cool.
Loved every nuance of it. It was fantastic. Even like driving back into our town on vapors at 1 o'clock in the morning when it was done after fighting to get out of the parking lot. There's so many reasons why it sticks out. But that was my very first hip concert. Everything else was stadiums and arenas. So
any highlights of that hip show? Any highlights of that first hip show? Like any songs that you were like, holy shit, I just saw this song live. I cannot believe it.
Well, you know, I'm going to say Weeking.
Okay. And yeah, that makes sense.
Because Ashley McIsaac, that guy, came out and did a fiddle interlude, which was amazing. Really? And that really stood out because it was dark and there was weed smell everywhere. And it was that moment where it's like, this moment is fantastic. We were pretty close to the stage too, which was amazing. Really anything that got the crowd up and going. And so now at this point, we're still in my glory days, right? This is still Road Apple Fully Completely. This is still that era. So we kind of lived in there. Day for Night was in there. So I'm also like a ballad girl. So any kind of scared long time running, I couldn't tell you the whole set list, but,
Those were all on there, though. Those were there.
Honey, I'm 46 years old. I don't remember all of the things, but a lot of them. I don't remember being disappointed with anything.
That's great.
It was a fantastic experience.
What a bow to put on the high school career, right?
It was pretty awesome.
I got to do the same thing for Roadside, the first one in 93.
You were at Markham Fairgrounds.
Yeah. It was my 19th birthday the day of.
Oh.
I've got a poster, a billboard on the back wall.
Yeah.
There, another roadside attraction.
Very nice. I have my button. I have a Q102 The Edge, another roadside attraction button from that concert.
Oh, cool.
And I have lost it at campgrounds and gone searching with flashlights in the middle of the night to find it. So it has returned to me every time. So, yeah.
Hip fandom is a wonderful thing, and it's a bizarre thing, right? Something that can make you crawl around on your hands and knees with a flashlight, you know?
By the comfort station, actually. Just going to say that.
Oh, the comfort station. For when you have to comfort really bad. Any other notable live memories?
I hate to say it. Well, no, I'm not going to hate to say it. How should I put it? I don't remember who I went with, but I remember seeing them, if that makes sense. So it was more about going to see the concert. I've been at Hamilton. I've been like Hamilton Place, Molson Amphitheater quite a bit, but not as many as I wanted. By the time I loved them as much as I did, I went to university and did not have money to go to a lot of concerts. So I sort of didn't see a lot of concerts until I was out of university. And then I was going to the ones that were in stadiums, and now we're into like, you know, the albums I didn't know as well. So I guess for me, the highlights would be going to a concert. And when you hear those first strains of those things that take you back to when you're a teenager and just going, oh my God, this is all I need right now. I can't say that I was the best Hip fan for a lot of years because I didn't know most of the songs on some albums until your podcast.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
Until the one with Justin and Tim.
Yeah.
And then I went back and listened to Fully and Completely and went, oh shit, I missed so much.
I was the same way. And that's why we did that podcast, really, because I wanted to go through that latter category, that latter part of the catalog with Greg, who had experienced it in a different way than I had.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it was the Renaissance. I think that's the word that I had in my head. So honestly, your podcast, I'm not trying to blow smoke, your podcast brought me back to how much I love them and how much it was okay for me to say, I dubbed out. It dipped out, whatever the word is. My kids, my students would know. Miss Lott, don't say those things. I felt okay with saying I'm back now. And I can appreciate them a lot more, honestly, as a grown person. Right? It's not just about how the music sounds. It's what they're saying.
I agree.
And that's something I developed as an older person. So.
Well, and it's you know, looking it through the veil of nostalgia and those highly emotional teenage years. You can really get wrapped up in feeling that again in this music. And it does take you there. It's so wonderful.
When I head into Algonquin, that's the playlist that's on. Doesn't matter. Yeah. Sometimes my husband is like, but there's other music. I'm like, not right now. There's not.
There is something very outdoorsy about them, isn't there?
Very much so. Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe it's just because Gordy's so rooted in nature and the love that he has for water and all that, and whether or not the song is about that or not, it still feels just feels like that.
So what did you think of the documentary other than probably just weeping profusely during the third and fourth part?
That was a treat. But you know what? I think I said to you, it's good pain. It's a good hurt. But you know the ending. You know what was going to happen. It wasn't a surprise. It was the little moments, I think the unseen footage that really undid me. And when Paul came to take care of him in those last few weeks. The thing itself, though, the first, it was amazing to see them as young kids. I think knowing just how far back and just how strongly bonded they were, that when they get to, he who shall not be named. So by the time we got to that part of the doc where the boys were not able to sing and they were like, and they were out, like, screw you, I'm done. That killed me. But it also helped to for me to understand the dynamic of them and then how like beautiful it is they all came back together again.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's a love story between them, I think.
Oh, I really love that.
That's how I thought.
It is. It is. And there's some family drama in there. Mm-hmm. And you're right. It would. They're all creative forces. This is the thing, you know, we the spotlight is on Gord because he's the front man. And there's no doubt that we love him immensely.
And I think it was okay to go, I'm a little bit pissed off at you, Gord Downey. Like, it's okay.
The only thing is he doesn't get to rebut. You know what I mean? We don't get to hear his side of the story.
That's
like,
very true. Yeah.
You know, that's my one, sort of like, there's a couple moments where, you know, I wish we could have heard his side of the story.
Mm-hmm. And I think because I don't know him at all, so this is all conjecture.
Me neither. Yeah.
My like romantic ideas. But I think his mind was beyond anything that we'll ever comprehend. like genius is not even the right word. And the amount of creativity that flowed through that man, it does not surprise me that Coke Machine Glow and all those things had to come out of him, right? The same way that the other guys have the incredible music that they put out.
It's a really interesting way of looking at it. Like, I've got to let this out.
I have to. I have students like that. I have like the most incredible kid who sometimes wears wizard hats to school. He's brilliant and has all of this stuff going on inside him. And if he doesn't go, fuck, today I'm wearing a wizard hat, then he can't function. And when you see how he sort of, how Gord went through, like, I don't want to crawl around on the stage and make my child feel embarrassed. So he bottled himself up, right?
Yeah.
And now he's strumming a guitar. There must have been all this kinetic energy and all this fantastic brain waves happening that I don't think the boys were not equipped to deal with, but I think it was okay for him to go, but I also have this. So it just made me sad that it kind of rolled into the division that came.
That's right. Yeah.
But it was so interesting. And it made me cry more at the end when they all were back together.
Yeah. It's lovely.
It is. Yeah.
Well, we can wallow or we can trudge on, which is the optimal strategy for a podcast.
For sure.
So what do you say we go to the song of the week next?
Absolutely. I cannot wait.
All right. Let's do that. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, this is Paul Langlois from the Tragically Hip saying hello. Now on with the countdown.
37.
Then I hope I left. Then I hope I said it's fine.
Wow. From Man-Machine Poem comes an absolute monster. In a world possessed by the human mind. Devin from Stouffville. What do you recall about the first time you heard the second track from the Hip's last record?
Well, if I'm going to use the theme of the day, it would be nostalgic. It was a new song, but it was an old song. It felt like Phantom Power. It felt like something on. Like it felt like that, boom, I'm here. It had a cadence that I had missed in some of their most recent albums. It had a ferocity that I had missed, but also such a gentleness. And I sound like such, like, I'm not trying to wax poetic. I'm just, it just caught me. It caught me because I was still cherry picking. And off of this album, there wasn't a lot until I understood why it was really important later on. It was upbeat, but it's just that Hip thing, right? Where
yeah.
It's super upbeat song, but they're telling a pretty dark story. Maybe not dark, but for me, there was like fear in this story. So the first time I heard it, I thought, I just love how it sounds, because that what always strikes me first about their music is, oh, it just sounds beautiful. And you get that boom, 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 like Johnny Faye just on that drum line. It sounds like a heartbeat to me when you think about the context of what could be the song's meaning. And the guitar, they were just all there. I think it felt to me like all the boys were there. I love when his voice is at that particular timbre. Like, I love that
me
tone where
too.
He's here. I love all his voice parts, but that is where I love that sweet spot. In an album where I was like, okay. Don't tell anyone that live, of course, because then you'll get mail. But in general, I was like, this is the one song I love right now.
So did you ever go back to the record and absorb it more? Or where are you with the record now, Man Machine Poem?
I can't disconnect it from my experiences. My last concert was their second last concert. Well, their second last concert outside of Kingston. So did you get to see the Man Machine Poem tour?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, so I was outside of Ottawa. I drove.
Oh, wow.
I drove 4.5 hours, very happily stayed in a hotel with a friend to see them because he was dying. And I hate to say that that's the reason why. I don't know if I would have driven that far for this album if not. But it's just all tied up. Right. So I came to love the album.
I appreciate your honesty.
No, because you have to be, right? I'm telling you, my dear, it was your podcast that brought me back to all of them. Going through Gord passing, it was about him. Your podcast brought me back to the whole band. So, but since that concert, certainly I have. I love Insarnia. Like, I love going through it. And I remember being presented with the thunderstorm and the interludes between everything. It really just set for me the tone of the whole album. So absolutely, I've gone back, and it's not one of my most favorites, but it's certainly one that I have come to super, super appreciate.
No, that's great. Well, going back to the specific second track, in a world possessed by the human mind, I hate asking this question, but I gotta ask it. What do you think it's about?
Well, when I first heard it, it just felt like a conversation. It is a conversation, right? And sometimes it feels like it's between two people. Sometimes it's, I think, a conversation with oneself. I didn't know about Museum in the Dark for a long time. So when I listen to their music, it's just what my brain sees. But I think that's the beauty of the Hip, right? They can be telling a super specific story and your brain and mind and heart can go 100 different ways. And Gordy would be like, that's okay. That's also what it meant, right? So
I think so. I think once you put it out there, you put it out there, it's somebody else's to mold, right? It's you spend a lot of time sculpting these things, but once you get it out there, people can add accoutrements to it, and it
In this one, it just felt heavy, and there was, as I said before, I think there was some. It feels like fear, and then some relief. Like there's something that's going on, something that's being discussed, something, but it's heavy. And then by the time that line comes, thought it was like God rustling around in the bushes, right?
Yes.
I just go, oh, what's going to happen now? Right. And then you're okay. Right. There's that minute of, I felt like I was holding my breath when I really got into the lyrics. I was like, And then when you think about now for Plan A and the journey that he shares with us about his wife's cancer diagnosis and treatment, to me, it kind of fit in there. And then I didn't make the mistake of, but I did look at Museum After Dark and was like, oh, but it's about all sorts of other things. But for me, that's what I took.
It's all just assumptions and guesses and
yeah.
and analysis that's really well done.
It's so good.
It's so yeah. good. I go there
and
often.
Sometimes I say, yes, oh my God, you're right. I didn't even know that Dress a Caribou meant to put a quarter in a payphone until my friend told me by a payphone, by a campfire one night. So I have lots to learn about the lyrics. But
this is yeah. the great thing. It's like the discography is like an education.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people, I think, know a lot more things about our country because of what they've put out there.
I think so too.
Yeah. And I love the moment where you talked about in all your podcasts where they kind of get to the point of, well, we don't need to be huge in the States. Who they have in the States are real fans.
Yeah.
And it felt like they kind of went, all right, great. We're going to go and tell our stories the way we want. We don't need to try and squeeze into some box that makes us of this continent. So I love that about them. I love that they just went, screw it. We are Canadian and here we go. And I love them all the more for it.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. tough not to love them. It's mm-hmm. real tough not to love them.
Yeah. I wish I had met even one of them. I have like six degrees.
That was my next question.
Your next question? Oh, yeah. Look at me. Yeah. I have never. I play like 6 degrees of separation from them. I knew a guy for like 5 minutes who jammed with Rob Baker every summer, some amazing little get together. He is a musician in his own right. So a really great one, actually. So they had this big jam thing they did up at a cottage. A friend of mine sent me a picture of Paul Langlois and him going, yeah, look at me. I'm like, oh my God, can you please tell him? But no, it didn't happen. I think I would probably still be 6 years old and go, and clam up. I would like to think I would have the wherewithal, pun intended, to say, and here's what you mean to me, boy. But I still get kind of knee jiggly when I see Rob Baker just on TV. And so I would have to just look from afar and say, man, I'm at least in the same space as I wish I had.
Do you have anything that you would like to plug?
To plug?
Yeah.
No. I mean,
that's cool. Like, fine.
I mean,
I want to make
teacher,
sure.
So I don't know.
Maybe
don't
you have a blog. Who knows?
I do not have a blog. I am not that savvy. Teach your kids to like good music. That's my plug. I play the hip all the time in my class.
Oh, that's great.
So we go there. Yeah. But you know what I get now? My dad loves this music. My mom. That's right. They do. And then I get you're older than my mom. I used to be younger than all the time. Now I am older than all the parents. They are learning about good music from me. We'll put it that way.
There you go. Well, that's what I've got for you this week. Make sure to tell your friends, tell the whole bunch. Hey, I just had a hippopotamus for lunch. Talk to you soon. Thanks for stopping by. Pick up your shit.
Pick up your shit.
Thanks for listening to the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown. To email us, send an email to tthtop40@gmail.com. We're social. Find us on all the socials at tthtop40.
Duvra! Podcasts and such.